It has been an interesting couple of weeks and it's been an interesting Advent for me. And it all kind of started with the Advent penance service. So I'll be honest with you, I'm super nervous to even talk about this, but here goes. I'm super nervous. So I was quite angry after the Advent penance service. So what happened was not a lot of people showed up. In fact, one of the priests was kind of joking like, oh, this is going to be quick. And I chuckled, but inside I was angry. I was angry at the thought that people don't seem to care about mortal sin. They don't seem to care about heaven and hell and the last things. And that we've been fed so long with a kind of touchy-feely religion that there's no concern for the life to come. So I was angry. I'm not angry anymore. I'm getting nervous talking about it. So I was angry. And then I had some conversations with priest friends. I had many conversations with brother priests. And as I talked about it and expressed my anger, it occurred to me that a lot of my brother priests are facing a similar circumstances. We're encountering what seems to be a consistent pattern within the church. We have families that don't take the Sunday obligations seriously. We have a whole other list of mortal sins that people seem very comfortable to commit on a regular basis without any thought of conversion, without any thought of confession. The difference, as I was listening to my brother priests that were newly ordained, talking about their frustrations with this, is that many of them were becoming bitter. They had been 3 years before filled with joy at the thought of being a priest, and many of them were feeling run down and bitter. These people just don't seem to care. And I remember one time I was driving back to Washington, and I had gotten off the phone with a friend, and I started to break down and cry, because the reality is, the little bit of a difference is, for me, it's not anonymous people who don't care. It's not some random, I mean, I think sometimes when we talk about these things, it's like some random person that you've never met or you've never known. The reality is, I've gotten to know you folks, and I love you, and I care about you. And the thought of people I love and care about going to hell was a reality that made me cry. The fact that so many people, the teachings are clear. I know sometimes right now there's a lot of confusion. People think the teachings aren't clear because this priest or this catechist told me, no, you can do a Google search. You can find the catechism. You can find very clear sources. The teachings are clear. And I'm not going to list them all off. I'm thinking I'm going to do some catechesis in the future, but just even to begin to have this conversation. The reality is that if we believe what the church teaches, a majority of Catholics are going to hell and they're on the fast track. So within that reality, I wept and I cried about it. I was like, I love these people. I want them to go to heaven. And then you're kind of wondering, what does this have to do with joy, right? The Gaudete Sunday. We're called to rejoice. But praying about it, reflecting on it, today's first reading is actually a powerful reminder. It's funny, we hear these readings and they become like platitudes. The first reading, rejoice. But do you realize the context? The prophet is speaking to people who are in exile. Israel has been brought low. They've seen their brothers and their sisters. They've probably seen untold war crimes. They've seen their country brought low, an invading force that was cruel and bitter, leading them off into slavery. And the prophets had told them, it's all your fault because you are not faithful. The Lord has allowed you to be led into exile. And then the prophets speak a word of comfort. And I think I need to hear that right now, that the church has been brought low this year. We've seen the scandal, but we know that the scandal is just the tip of the iceberg. The corruption is much greater than just simply a few priests and a few bishops. And yes, the sex abuse part of it is terrible, but there's layers of corruption within this generation. But yet, in the midst of that, I cling to the idea of joy. And for me, what is powerful is something somebody reminded me of, because I have a lot of conversations about evangelization. How can we motivate people to embrace Jesus Christ? And one friend in this parish said, you know, Father, I wish I could just show them the joy of knowing the Lord that I experience in my heart, that I could reach out and show them my heart and how it beats for Christ. And that is my joy. It's not this idea simply of doing the bare minimum. That's even part of the frustrating part. It's like we can't even get to the deeper conversations because we got to talk about the bare minimum. No, there's a greater trajectory of growth. It's not just about filling obligations, but the goal is mystical union, to say, as we hear in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, to be completely dedicated to Christ, to fall completely in love with him. But the first step is we have to be obedient to the teachings. That's a kind of threshold, a foundation. I think a lot of times we can talk about love and we can talk about tenderness and the deep things of God, but if that foundation is not in place, then it becomes empty sentiment. So I know this has been a little bit of a hard message today, but I just ask you to consider that. What's the whole point? To unleash that love of Christ in our lives, to fall in love completely for Jesus Christ, that he is the center of our life, and that will give us a joy that is greater than the things of this world. This is my hope, that in having these difficult conversations, we'll start to turn around. We'll start to frequent the sacrament of confession. We'll commit ourselves to being disciples, daily prayer, living by the standard that the church gives us. And that we will be known as a saintly parish, a parish of people who are committed to Jesus Christ. Amen.